Let me say good morning to everyone.
Good morning.
We know that Jesus did rise with all power in his hand. For that reason, we're worshiping him this morning. Amen?
Amen.
I want to first thank the church for your prayers. I asked for prayers, I think, on last Wednesday night, Wednesday before last. I had a medical procedure, and I want to report back to the church that the Lord heard y'all prayer. Yes, he did. Yes, he did.
All right.
Yeah, yeah. Brother Stroud went through something this week. Yeah. But the prayers of the righteous, James said, availeth much.
That's right.
And I just want to report back to you. God heard you, and he answered those prayers.
Thank you, Jesus.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Oh, man, I feel good this morning.
Yeah.
No, sometimes I just share this and I'm getting to my lesson. I'd talk with the medical staff, and when the person first shared with me what went on, I said, is that what's going to happen? She said, yes. And I said, you sure? Because he told me it may be this. She said, yeah, I talked to her and it's going to be this. And you know, sometimes you have to bite down on the bullet. And so I bit on the bullet. Yeah. Lord, you weren't taking no nap when they was praying for me, was you? And so she called me back, and she said, Ms. Stroud. I said, yes, ma'am. She said, I want you to let you know, I met with the nurse in the hallway, and she told me that this is going to happen. I told her, I said, you don't know how good you're making me feel right now. I say, praise God.
Yes, sir.
He heard your prayers. So Brother Stroud is here. I still got some things to do, but just we got to pray for one another.
Amen.
Yeah, I'm going to show you in the text. Jesus prayed. Jesus prayed. We got to pray for one another. Yeah, and the prayers, James said, of the righteous avail it much. So I just want to report back to the church. On a person, I asked the church to pray for me and those that did. I want to thank you for it. Amen?
Amen.
I want to welcome those that may be visiting with us this morning. Let's get to the why we're here this morning. If you're worshiping with us for the first time, what you're experiencing is New Testament worship, where we worship without the assistance of mechanical instruments. The Bible commands us in Hebrews 13, the Hebrew writer said that we praise God with the fruit of our lips. We sing to God. Not with instruments. Yeah, the melody is made in our heart,
right.
Not on no strings and the pianos. And so I wanted to let us know that. So we worship God. In Acts chapter 2, when Luke penned the Acts of the Apostles, he gave those five acts that when we come to assemble to worship God, the Bible says in verse 42 of Acts 2, and they continue steadfast in the apostles' doctrine. We're going to teach. Doctrine means teaching from the word of God. Fellowship. The word means sharing, where we give back to God what God has blessed us with. And then we commune in the breaking of bread. We commune with the Lord. Our minds are to go back to the sacrifice that Christ made for each of us on the cross when he hung for 6 hours with nails in his hands and nails in his feet. And he died on the cross. And he said, as my brother read, we do this in remembrance of him. Yeah, that's a memorial every week, 52 weeks. We remember what the Lord did for us on that cross. And then we have prayer. Brothers, lead us in prayer to our God. Amen? And then the Bible said, praising God, as I just said, we praise God with the fruit of our lips and having favor with all the people. The Bible says, and the Lord added to the church daily, such as should be saved. So according to that text, if I understand it, when a person is added, there's only one church, the church, and the Lord adds you to it when you are obedient to the Lord. And what the Lord does is save those that obey the Lord from their past sins. Amen? So that's those the five acts of worship. I'd like to just remind us that when we assemble, we are here to worship God. He is the audience. We all are the participants. Yeah, yeah. He is the audience, not us. Yeah, so we come in with our mindset that I'd like to put before us all, that we have come here. I'm thankful to the Lord that the Lord has allowed me to be able to assemble to worship him in spirit and in truth. Amen?
Yes, sir.
So on this morning, we've been studying, those that are with us this morning for the first time, we've been studying from Philippians chapter 2. Yeah. We have been studying. Now we're moving into in the second chapter of Ephesians, of Philippians. The theme in the second chapter is Christ is our example. Yeah, in chapter 1, Christ should be our life. Paul said it in Philippians 1:26, for to me to live is Christ. So Christ becomes our life, becomes the center of the Christian life. And then in chapter 2, Paul began to unfold the fact that Christ is our example. And so our subject morning is taken from the fifth verse of that writing of Paul, when Paul said, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. This morning, I want to talk about the mind, Christ. And he said, let this mind, what mind? The mind of Christ be in each of us that are Christian that was in Christ Jesus. Mm-hmm. Yeah. We studied last week how the verse says, as I get into the text, he said that nothing should be done through strife or vainglory.
Yes,
yeah. He said in verse 3, let nothing be done through strife or vainglory. But now notice, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than himself. So that was the mind of Christ. Yeah. So he said, but in lowliness of mind. What do you mean by lowliness, Brother Stroud? That's the quality of not thinking you are better than other people. It is humility.
Right.
Yeah. And then he said, to esteem others. To esteem means to think about others before you do something. So Jesus, we're going to see in the text how Jesus exemplified. We're going to see the attitude, the spirit, and the character of Jesus in this text when Paul told them, let this mind be in you. So he said, notice what Jesus did. He said, look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. This mindset that Paul gave them in verse number 4 allows one to put the cares and needs of others before yourself. Yeah. The way we draw closer to one another is to increase our loving awareness of each other. That's how we do it. Paul told them, don't look at what you got, look on the things of other people. And I wanted to see how Jesus did exactly what Paul said. Paul then said, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. So this morning, we want to look at the mind of Christ. And this afternoon, Lord said the same, we'll look at the mind of us, the mind we should have. But this morning, we want to look at, Paul wanted them to know, Christ is your example. Look at the mind of Christ. Let this mind be in you. When you talk about the mind, Pastor, what did the Lord mean when he said the mind? The mind, by definition, means to think about something morally in order to make a choice or a decision. So when the mind of Christ, everything Christ did, his mind was right. He was morally right. His mind was right. And every decision Christ made was right. We'll show that in the text. But that's what the word mind means, that my thoughts are morally right. Now, we have to understand, we have thoughts that are not consistent with the will of God. Yeah, and that's why we have to work on ourselves. We talked earlier where Paul said them to mortify the deeds in the body. Look in Colossians 3:5. I want to establish that point. God, you got your Bibles. I want to have us exercise our Bibles this morning. In Colossians 3:5, we see that Paul, in his letter to the Colossians, he said, mortify. Mortify. The word mortify means to put to death. Therefore, your members, which are upon the earth. And then he talked about what those members do. Some members, he said, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry. Those are desires that we have that are not consistent with the will of God. We all have them. Yeah, we all have them. So we got to work on the mind that Christ had, that this mind that we have is one that is morally sound, one that able to make choices and decisions based on the word of God. Yeah, God made man a trichotomy. God made man emotionally. God made man also intellectually. God gave us the ability to think. But what we have to learn to do is input the word of God in the decision we make. Yeah, we have emotion. We also have thoughts. But now I have to grow to the level that my thoughts drives how I feel, which drives how I behave. But those thoughts have to come from the word of God. Yeah, I can't keep living the way I want to live. And I have to make sure that every day I make time to study the word of God. There ought not be a day, and God give us 24, that I don't make time to study God's word. Amen, somebody. Amen. So Paul said then, watch the mind of Christ, who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal to God. So now two things we're going to find in the text. One, Paul first identified that Christ was in the form of God. The word form means the character of a person. So what Paul was allowing them to understand that Christ possessed the essential attributes of God. Mm-hmm. Christ was God. He was in the form of God, and he said, now, Christ didn't think it thought it not robbery to be equal to God. What does robbery mean? The word robbery means to hold on to or to grasp something. When you rob, you take hold of something. But he says here that Jesus thought it not robbery. He let go of his glory. However, he was still equal with God. Yeah, Christ gave up his glory of being at the right hand of the Father for each of us. That's what he did. He thought it not robbery. He gave it up. He gave up his glory. Even though he was equal to God, he was in the form of God. Jesus was God. Jesus is God. The Bible teaches us in 1 John chapter 5 and verse number 7. We find that John wrote, for there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Spirit. These three are one. So, the word God means one divine nature. God means one divine nature. However, that divine nature is expressed in three personalities. Turn to John chapter 4. I want you to see this, read it for yourself. So you got one God or one divine nature. However, it's expressed in three personalities. In John chapter 4, and the verse is number 23. Note what Jesus said. God is a spirit. And they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. He was talking about the Father. Verse 23 says, but the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father seeketh such to worship him. So God the Father is a spirit. It's a spirit. Yeah. And we worship him in our spirit, but according to the truth. That's number one, God the Father. Well, go back to John chapter 1. And John wrote, the same John wrote in verse 14, he said, and, well, I start at verse 1 and then get to 14. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Now, who is that Word? Verse 14 says, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. So Jesus is the Word. Why is he referred to as the Word? Because Word expresses something. Christ expressed God in a body. Here. So the Bible teaches us that Jesus, the Word, or Christ, also is God. The Word was God. Still one God. But it's expressed now in not only in the Father, but it's also expressed in the Son. That's why he's the Son of God, the Father. And then we find, turn your Bibles to Acts chapter 5. The Holy Spirit also is referred to as God in the Bible. Acts chapter 5. You had the case of Ananias and Sapphira. Yeah, they had made a decision to give back to the Lord. And then they kept back some of the money. I'll start at verse 1. But a certain man named Ananias with Sapphira, his wife, sold a possession. And they kept back part of the price, his wife also being privy to it, and brought a certain part and laid it at the apostles' feet. So what they did was they sold some land, and they had said to themselves they was going to give it to the Lord. Then they decided to keep back a certain part of it. Yeah. But Peter asked him in verse 3, Ananias, why has Satan filled thine heart to lie to the Holy Ghost and to keep back part of the price of the land? God knows how much you sold the land for. He told him in verse 4, while it remained, was it not thine own? And after it was sold, was it not in thy power to do what was right? He said, why hast thou conceived this thing in thy heart? Thou hast not lied unto man, but unto who?
God.
Yeah. So when he lied to the Holy Spirit, he also lied to God. God, the Holy Spirit is God also. One God. One divine nature. Yeah, you got to be careful with that. Sister, let me say, don't, when your husband do wrong, let him go. Don't go with him. Man, that's some good teaching in here. And Ananias, watch this here now. Hope, thankful we ain't living during this time. The Bible says, and Ananias, hearing these words, fell down and gave up the ghost. He died right then because of a lie. And great fear came on all them that heard these things. And the young man arose, wound him up, and carried him out and buried him. The Bible says, notice how God worked. And it was about the space of 3 hours afterwards when his wife, not knowing what was done, came in. Yeah, I guess they didn't have no gossiping people back then. Because it was 3 hours and ain't nobody had told her yet. Well, if somebody died here like that, it'd be all over. Yeah, you couldn't get out of this building. The text stopped working, man. You know he died right here. Yeah, but what did God do? See, God will always give you an opportunity to do what's right. God gave her the opportunity. Now, even though Sister Stroud partnered with me in doing something wrong, God says, I done took Brother Stroud out for lying. Now I'm going to give you a chance, Sister Stroud, to do what's right. You know what you did was wrong. Mm. Are you going to correct it?
Mm.
And Peter answered unto her, ask her, tell me whether you sold the land for so much. And she said, yea. In other words, he said, now, the money y'all gave me, is this the amount you sold the land for? All she had to do then, as they say, just come clean. No God, I mean, no Peter. We actually sold the land for more than that. But me and my husband got together and we decided, Sister Stroud, did you sell the land for so much? No, Peter. Me and my wicked, that husband I married, that guy I married, you know how he is. He talked me in to holding back some of the money. No, that's not what we sold it for. Here the rest of the money. She would have been made clean.
Mm-hmm.
Sister Stroud,
mm-hmm.
be careful.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And Sister Stroud told me this one time before. She said, let me just tell you something. We got in a situation, and I told her one time, I said, we were young in our marriage. And I said, wait a minute, Sister Stroud, you're not going to side with me? She said, let me tell you something. I'm going to always side with God.
Yeah.
If you're on God's side, I'm siding with you. But if you're on the other side, I'm still siding with God.
All right.
We got to know in a relationship, don't side with nobody when they wrong.
When they wrong.
That's the teaching point. She decided to side with her husband and not watch what Peter told her. Then Peter said unto her, how is it that you have agreed together to tempt the Spirit of the Lord? Behold, the feet of them which have buried thy husband are at the door, and they got your phone number.
Amen.
That's some good teaching anyhow. In any relationship, always do what's right. Even if that means I got to sleep on the sofa and be in the doghouse, I'm going to start barking early in the morning. Yeah, because I'm going to do what's right.
There you go.
Yeah.
That's right. That's right.
Because sometimes that happens in relationships. We are emotional. Because sometimes we want to do things because sometimes we get selfish in relationships.
Right.
And when that happens, you got to do what's right. In any relationship, not just husband and wife, in any relationship with family members. This is our example. The point I was making, I just thought it was a good text to read, that in this case they lied to God, but God is the Holy Spirit is God. Amen?
Amen.
Yeah. Paul said then, but made himself, going back to Jesus now,
mm-hmm.
He was made in the form of God, but he made himself of no reputation. And took upon him, watch the second part now, the form of a what?
Servant.
Yeah. And was made in the likeness of man. So Paul said, first of all, that Jesus left glory. Left glory. And he left the glory of being the Son of the Father. He left it up in heaven. And the Bible says, he made himself of no reputation. The word reputation means to empty himself. Yeah, Jesus took off glory. He left it there. However, he was still divine. He was God that put on a body. And the Bible says, and took on upon him the form of a servant. Remember, the word form means the character. He took on the character of a servant. And a servant is simply the state of being a slave. So Jesus left heaven, left glory there, put on a body, came down here, and was made in the likeness of men. That which is made like something is a resemblance. So Jesus then became a man.
Yes, he did.
Yeah. What he did was This allowed humanity to be added to divinity. Mm-hmm. What do you mean by that, Brother Starr? Turn to Hebrews chapter 4. Read it in the Bible. Jesus came down here, lived on earth, and the same temptations we go through, Jesus experienced them too. You say, we need a high priest that can go through what we did. Well, the Hebrew writer explained that in Hebrews chapter 4 and verse number 14. Hebrews 4 and 14. Note what he said. Seeing then that we have a great high priest, talking about Jesus, that is passed into the heavens. He's going by the heaven. Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession, meaning that which you confess, hold on to it. For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but in all points tempted like as we are, yet
without
sin. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Jesus was tempted in Matthew 4. He was tempted, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, the pride of life. Jesus was tempted just like we are. However, Satan tempted him, but he did no sin. And the stronger we get, the devil won't be able to cast us to doing sin. Man. Jesus put on a human body. Mm-hmm. Now our great high priest tempted just so Jesus went through everything we've gone through. Yeah. Jesus know about pain. Jesus know about suffering. God know about losing somebody. Well, God, you don't know. I lost my only begotten son. Yeah. And I let cruel men, convict him of something he didn't do, and he died. So don't think God don't know what it feels like to lose a loved one, his only begotten son. Jesus came not only in the form of God, but also in the form of man. And then Paul said, and being found in fashion, that's his outward appearance, as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. So now we now see, we're talking about the attitude and the spirit and the character of Jesus. Yeah, the word humble, as you should know, means to be made low. Jesus made himself lower, became a man. But now, the word, here where we start with us, the word obedient means willing to do what someone tells you to do, willing to obey. Am I willing to do what God say to do? Yeah, when I read in the scriptures, when I read what God has given me command as a husband, as a father, am I willing to do what God said do, or am I going to do what I want to do? Jesus, the mind of Jesus was to be obedient. Now, notice what it says. Not only was he was obedient unto his death.
That's right.
What death? Even the death of the cross. What is the cross? That's an upright stake. Again, it says, on such someone who is guilty of a crime was nailed for execution. However, Christ did no sin. So the fact that they put him up on the cross was wrong in and of itself. Yeah, Christ did no sin. What was Christ now? The mind of Christ. Look in John chapter 6. Let us use our Bible some. John chapter 6. Looking at the mind of Christ. John 6 and verse number 38. The mind of Christ. John 6. Notice the mind of Christ when he came down here to earth. This should be our mind. The Bible reads, "For I came down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him that sent me." Mm-hmm. So the mind of Christ was to do the will of him that sent him. That's the mind that we got to have. A mind that whatever the word of God says. I know my uncle taught me this here. Brother Miles taught me, he said, I don't have no better sense than to do what's in the Bible. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I don't have no better sense than to do whatever I read in the Bible. Yeah. Not only that, look at Romans 15. Talking about the mind of Christ. So not only Christ came to do the will, but also we find in Romans 15, and the verse is number 3, where Paul, letter to the Romans, the Bible says, for even Christ pleased not himself. Yeah. So sometimes the reason we won't do what God wants to do because it's about pleasing self. Mm. Yeah. But as a Christian, I have to develop self-denial. If any man will come out of me, let him first do what? Yeah. That don't mean that I can't enjoy life, but then there are times when I can't please myself. I have to please my wife, your husband. Yeah, that's the Bible tells you that. Corinthian letter says, please your wife. Yeah, you mean, yes, you have to please your wife. Where is that in the Bible? Okay, I'll show you where is that. Thank you for asking the question. Yeah, turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 7. Show us that. Yeah. So the mind of Christ was not just to please himself. Yeah. 1 Corinthians 7. And verse number 32. Paul wrote, but I would have you without carefulness. He that is unmarried careth for the thing that belong to the Lord.
That's right.
How he may please who?
The Lord.
Yeah. You got single people. Single people need, your main focus ought to be pleasing the Lord.
Amen.
Yeah. How he may please the Lord. Why? Because he's not married.
Mm-hmm.
But he that is married careth for the things that are of the world. How he may please his what?
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. So as a married man, I understand part of my responsibility is to make Sister Stroud happy. Yeah. That's part of my J-O-B-B. Yeah. Yeah, I got to ask Sister, are you happy? Now put some money in my hand. Here. Yeah. Here. Go on and do what you do. Yeah. But he said also to the wife, verse 34, there is difference also between a wife and a virgin. The unmarried woman care for the things of the Lord, that she may be holy, both in body and in spirit. Yeah. What are you saying in that text? Caught up in there, sisters, if you single, you ain't supposed to be having no sexual relationship with nobody.
Right.
Somebody ought to say amen.
Amen.
Yeah. Well, Pastor, I didn't know that. Now we know.
That's right.
As we know better, we supposed to
do better. That's right.
Because you're not married. Your body and your spirit. But she that is married careth for the things of the world, how she may please her who? Yeah. Sister Stroud's got to make me happy too. Yeah. Make me happy too.
That's right.
Yeah. I mean, when I was in the world, now I know none of y'all ain't been out in the wild, so I'm going to say something, y'all won't even know that. But Teddy Pendergrass said, back when I was coming up. Now, hell, don't you start tapping your feet, too, boy. I'm going to watch you. Because I know you would start getting it going down here. Yeah, I'll be watching you. Lock his foot, Brother Anthony, so he won't move. Put your foot on his foot. Because, you know, you go back sometime with some of us, y'all be getting into it. But Teddy Pendergrass had a song. He said, I'm not talking about a 70-30.
No,
he said, I'm not talking about a 60-40. I'm talking about a
50-50.
You know what he's talking about? What that means, married couples, If you got the person doing more than what you're doing, that marriage ain't balanced.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It ain't balanced. Yeah. He said, that, I mean, it's a worldly song, but it has a meaning. He's saying, in a marriage, both people need to give 50%. I need to give all I can.
Right.
Now, I may get broke down and I can't do no, but whatever I can do, that's it. I'm still doing 50%. I just can't move.
Mm-hmm.
I can't go nowhere. I can't do nothing. Yeah. But I'm still giving 50.
There you go.
I'm using my mouth. So stop, bring me some biscuits. That's my 50. Oh, how you doing? I can't get in the kitchen no more. My mom, bring me some breakfast, please, babe. Yeah. That makes sense? I'm trying, in a relationship, you got to give. Both people have to give.
Mm-hmm.
It's like give. And so I'm saying, somebody, you know, you can check him. Say, babe, you got to start coming on with it. Yeah. But let me say this while I'm going across that territory. I'm going to get back to my text in a minute. But husbands, those wives that are out there working, there is no Bible for a sister whacking from the Lord. So if Sister Stroud has a job, she's helping me with my responsibility of providing for the family.
There you go.
Yeah. She's helping me. But that's my responsibility.
You're the primary. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Now, if she don't want to help me and I got a job, I'm just have a job and I'm just making meager money, she just got to manage what I bring in.
Mm.
That's how that works. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Got it.
So if you want to live like that, you should have married somebody. You know I couldn't be bringing on that kind of money. Yeah, you didn't marry, you know. Yeah. No, you ain't marry, what's one of the Astro players?
Altuve.
Altuve, Sister Stroud. You marry Al Horiso. Yeah. Yeah. Nah, yeah. So you ain't gonna be bringing home that. Yeah. So you gotta manage that. I'm just saying, in relationship, it's just good to talk about marriage. Sometimes money becomes the cause of the situation. Yeah. Yeah. Sometimes when it ain't enough. Yeah. We gotta sit down. The Bible tells sit down first and count up the cost. That's it. All these biblical principles in there. Jesus taught that principle. Sit down first and count up the cost, whether you have enough to pay for it. Yeah, that's give scripture. Luke 14:28. He said, for which of you intending to build a tower, sit it not down first, count it the cost, whether you have sufficient to finish it. You got to sit down and discuss those things. Yeah, that's the mind of Christ. Christ said that. Sit down first, let's have a discussion. I mean, it can't be my way and your. Sometimes we got to meet middle ground in a relationship. Yeah, that's that 50-50. Not 70-30, 60-40, but a 50-50. Where can we meet in the middle? Well, we both. That's called compromise. We come to an agreement on how we gonna do things. Christ, back to my text. His obedience knew no limits. Say that again. Christ's obedience had no limits. Christ's death on the cross showed how far God was willing in loving mankind. He loved us so much, he sent Christ to the cross to die for us. That's the love that God had for mankind. Then Paul says, wherefore God also has highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name. So watch what Christ did. Christ went from a servant to the throne. Christ returned to heaven as the Son of Man as well as the Son of God. Yeah. That's what Jesus did. And I also want to say this about us. I talked to you about what y'all did for me in Luke chapter 6. Luke chapter 6. I talked about prayer. I want to say this was a characteristic of Jesus. Prayer. As I move to a close. Prayer was a part of Jesus' character. In Luke chapter 6, and the verse is number 10. I'm going to start there so you can see what he did. The Bible says, and looking round about upon them all, Luke 6, 10, he said unto the man, stretch forth thy hand. And he did so, and his hands was restored whole as the other hand. And the Bible says, and they were filled with madness. They was angry because of what Jesus did had healed him on a Sabbath day. And they said, the Bible said, and they communed one with another what they might do to Jesus. Now watch what Jesus did in verse number 12. And it came to pass in those days that he went out into a mountain to pray and continued all night in prayer to God. As I said, I thank the congregation at the beginning. Prayer is a tool that only those that are Christians have.
That's right. That's right.
And sometimes we don't exercise it enough. When you going through stuff, notice when Jesus, they had communed together, heard him. Jesus, the Bible said, not only he went to God in prayer, but Jesus prayed all night. God don't sleep. Pray to God. And I'm saying that's why it's important when we ask for prayer on Wednesday night and on Sunday, when those people ask for prayer, remember them when you pray. Lord, when we, Sister, I pray, Lord, I want to pray for all those that ask for prayer today. Lord, you know what they need. Lord, I'm asking that you would give them the resources necessary to help them in this situation. God works through people.
Yes, he does.
There are no miracles today.
Amen.
God works through people. So Jesus prayed. That was a character of here. And God, the Bible says, exalted him, lifted him up. Then the Bible says, I move to a close, that at the name of Jesus, every knee, now watch this here now, this is important, should bow of things in heaven, of things in earth, and things upon the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus is Lord to the glory of the Father. Now watch this here. We as Christians need to realize the greatness of this pattern, and we need to display the mind of Christ within our own life. But I want us to see something here. It was important. Because when Paul wrote to the Philippians, notice he said, every knee should. You don't have to. You should. You should bow. Then he said, you should confess. You should. You should. Turn your Bibles to Romans 14 as I close. Romans 14. Remember, he said, should confess. You should tell people about Jesus. But when Paul wrote to the Romans, he said this in Romans 14 that we all need to know. In verse number 11, Paul wrote, for it is written, as I live, said the Lord, every knee what?
Shall
bow. See, when he wrote to the Philippians, he said, you should. But Jesus letting all of us know, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. So then, Paul said, concluded, every one of us shall give an account of himself to who?
God.
Yeah. So I'm saying to everybody here, I need to have the mind of Christ.
Yeah.
That I pray to God. That I have the mind of Christ, that I study God's word, that I learn how to live better. As I talked about this morning, in the message was not there, but I want to share that the mind of the husband, the mind of the wife, how we ought to do things that are morally upright in the sight of God, because God is watching us. God is watching. So Paul wanted them to know what the mind of Christ is. What was the mind of Christ? The mind of Christ, going back to verse number 4, look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. What Jesus did when he took off that metaphorically the robe of glory and he left it in heaven, he stepped down on earth. He was not created. He was born. Because some people say, Christ wasn't no created being. Christ was born of a woman. Yeah. But he did it for others. He looked at the things of others and he took on the mindset. He left the form of God and became the form of a servant that all of us will have an opportunity to go back to heaven. That's what Jesus did for each of us. And I want to say, if you're here this morning, those of us as Christians, we know now that's the mind of Christ. This afternoon, we'll talk about how that mind should be in the Christian. Look at verses in the Bible this afternoon. If you're here this morning and you're not a Christian, you should confess. That's what Paul told Philippians. You should come down here this morning. You should understand that to become a Christian, the plan of salvation, to be saved from our sin, one must hear something. One must believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. One must repent of their sins.
Right.
Turn from the way you've been living. You must confess that Jesus Christ, while you got an option to do it, you need to confess that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. What do I need to hear? You need to hear the gospel. The fact that Jesus Christ, as I said in my message morning, he died for your sins.
Right.
He was buried in a tomb. He rose again the third day. You must imitate what Christ did. You must die to sin. You must be buried in a tomb, but this tomb is liquid. It's called water. Yeah. You understand, by faith, the blood of Christ that was shed for his church also was shed for our sin.
Right.
Hebrews 9:22, without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness for sin. Christ died.
Yes, he did.
And then you must remember, he rose the third day. So one must be water baptized. And when you're water baptized, as I said in Acts 2:42, what the Lord then does is add you to the only church you can read about in the Bible. Why is it on the church? Because in Acts 20:28, the Bible teaches that Christ, the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood. God the Father never had blood. God the Son had blood. So the God that they were talking about was the church of Christ.
There you go.
He paid for it with his blood. And what the Lord does is save you from all your past sins.
Yes, he does.
There's someone today that would like to respond to the message in either form. Either you need to come back and you need to restore your relationship with God. If you know you've done something that has been publicly shaming on the church, you need to come back to the Lord and ask for forgiveness and ask again for those saints to pray for you, that God would allow you to grow and overcome that. But if you're one that have not never obeyed the Lord, the opportunity is given unto you to come down this morning. And what I'll ask you to do is make the same statement we find in Harold. Get from Acts 8. In verse number 37, what the eunuch did, he made a statement before he was baptized. Get by verse number 35, Acts 8:35. There's somebody here today that would like to respond to the message. We're going to bid you to come as together we stand and sing a verse of a hymn. Thank you very much for your patience.
Lord, I want to be a Christian in my heart, in my heart.
Is that one
Lord,
today?
Lord, I want to be a Christian in my heart.
Come down this morning.
In my heart. In my heart.
Is there one today?
Lord, I want
to
be a Christian in my heart. Lord, I want to be more loving in my heart, in my heart. Lord, I want to be more loving in my heart, in my heart, in my heart. Lord, I want to be more loving in my heart. Lord, I want to be more holy in my heart, in my heart. Lord, I want to be more holy in my heart, in my heart, in my heart. Lord, I want to be